Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the church begins final preparations for Saturday service and procession to the church where Pope Francis will be laid to rest, his final wishes are being revealed. In Rome, ABC's James Longman.
His wooden coffin placed at ground level, not elevated, so that those gathering could see him more easily.
He is keeping some traditions. He'll wear his pallium, a scarf-like garment and a symbol of his status as a good shepherd. A bag of coins featuring his portrait and a document summarizing his papacy will be buried with him.
50,000 mourners have filed past the casket in Rome so far. President Trump pushing back on Ukraine for a peace deal. President Zelensky saying no to U.S. demands that Ukraine not be allowed to join NATO and that Russia be allowed to keep all of the land that it has captured so far. President Trump continuing to push for negotiations with trading partners as American companies, including Southwest Airlines and PepsiCo, lower their earnings estimate for the year because of tariff uncertainty. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is looking for public feedback on a proposal to use a specific herbicide and pesticide under special permits. The proposal would include granting conditional approval for the special pesticide registrations of Lorax DF and Stinger HL to manage pest issues with carrots and strawberries when already federally registered options fail. The proposal would allow the use of the herbicide and pesticide through 2029. Public comments on the proposal will be accepted until April 29th. The Wisconsin State Senate voted nearly unanimously to pass a bill expanding Medicaid coverage for postpartum mothers on Tuesday. Under current law, pregnant Wisconsinites can receive 60 days of Medicaid coverage if they have an annual income of up to 306% of the federal poverty line. Wisconsin is one of only two states that has not extended that coverage to a full year. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has refused to bring up similar bills for an assembly vote in the past, despite bipartisan support, calling it an expansion of welfare. A Comstock man has been sentenced to prison in connection to a police chase in Barron County. According to court documents, 41-year-old Zachary Sexton was charged with attempting to flee an officer in March. He entered into a deal pleading guilty to the charge, with previously filed charges of possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia being dismissed. He also allegedly told officers he fled because he had a warrant out for his arrest on the drug charges at the time. Sexton was sentenced to 1 year in prison and 3 years of extended supervision. Washburn County is looking to improve its child services by hiring a child welfare case manager or social worker. The position would be part of the Family Services Unit with the Department of Health and Human Services. County officials say whichever position is hired will provide services for families experiencing child abuse and neglect issues, delinquency, and foster care. Qualified applicants must have a bachelor's degree in social work or a related field and a Wisconsin social work certification. Applications will be accepted until May 2nd. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the NFL Draft tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the NFL Draft is getting underway. Thousands of fans and the network's broadcasting live. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst asked, after being just one game away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, where does he think the team is heading into this season?
I think we're growing. You know, we lost our last three games, right? I think that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't think we can get very far away from that and understand that we got a lot of work to do. But I do like our group. I think they're eager, and I think they're all kind of entering a phase where they're going to be playing their best football. So I think we're really excited about that.
NBA, the Bucks back home, getting ready for the Pacers for game 3 tomorrow night. Indy leads that series 2-0. Baseball, Brewers losing to the Giants 4-2. Pat Murphy on the decision to pull Freddie Peralta in the 6th.
We believed that he could do it, and then two quick hits, and then 0-2 to ball 4. I didn't like that, and then he was at 96, and one of those things.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with some rain by this afternoon. Our high today in the mid-50s with wind northeast at 5 to 15. More rain tonight, quarter to a half inch or more likely by the time it all ends tomorrow morning. Our low 45 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with afternoon clearing. High in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that
where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, April 24th, 2025. Coming up, our guest Sarah Drever is going to talk to us about the recent comments by HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. about autism, what he has to say about what he thinks causes it and what it does to people's lives. And as I said earlier, it might be easier to catalog what he got right rather than all of the many things that he got wrong. We'll have that discussion coming up in just a couple of moments. We also have Joe Zepecki joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about this week's Wisconsin political news, not the least of which is his own run for state Democratic Party chair. He's not the only one running. We talked to William Garcia yesterday in our 8 o'clock hour, and tomorrow in our 8 o'clock hour, we will talk to Devin Remiker, the current executive director of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. They are the three candidates currently. There may or may not be others between now and the state convention in mid-June, but we want to give you every opportunity to hear what they have to say about what they would do to lead Wisconsin progressives after Ben Wickler steps aside. So all that yet to come in this third hour of our newly expanded morning show, which for us also includes another crack at getting a forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot for the state, hoping that in the hour since we talked to her last, that the forecast has changed, and for the NFL draft in Green Bay tonight, there will be sunshine and temperatures in the mid-70s and not a drop of rain. And the look on Brittany's face is telling me the forecast has not changed that much in the past hour.
No, it hasn't. I wish it did. I wish it did.
let's look at the positive side, because there are people who are going to be there. They've traveled a long ways. Yeah, there will be a couple of gloomy gusses, they're scowling under their poncho.
Sure.
Others are going to make the most of it. Some of it might be fueled by fermented malt beverages, but they are going to have a good time regardless of what the weather's going to be. So
I agree with you.
Let's tell them what the weather's going to be.
All right. Yes. There's too many events and activities going on and smiles going around that I don't think the weather is going to dampen anything. And of course, it is holding off as long as it possibly can. It actually fills in rain through the entire state, holding off on the Fox Valley to the last possible minute. So that is actually good news for you guys. But throughout the state right now, it is pretty crisp and chilly. It's still below freezing in Hayward, Wisconsin right now at 30 degrees, and it is 57 until Milwaukee. So the state, temperature-wise, is going to see a huge spread. We're looking at near 80 degrees south down by the state line today, mostly 60s central. It'll be 60 degrees into Green Bay and 50s north. And we're looking at that heat just continuing through the day today, and then we lose it tomorrow as this low-pressure system moves in. So what we're looking at is a few spotty showers popping up later on this evening and becoming more steady into the northwestern parts of the state later tonight. Now, it'll spread up into the north overnight, and this will start to move into the Fox Valley then in Titletown, and then some scattered showers start to pop up down south overnight as well. So by tomorrow morning, Yes, rain is going to be widespread. It will be heavier pretty much from Minneapolis to the UP, and it'll be lighter elsewhere. We're looking at about a quarter of an inch to fall into the Green Bay area. That should end around noon or so. And for the rest of the state, that, of course, will clear on out of here in the morning hours. So, you know, the clouds are going to be gone by Friday. We are going to be battling some breezy winds out there, so temperatures will only hit highs of about 50 degrees, and it's going to feel much colder because winds are going to be gusting around 30. So if you're going to the draft, pack a poncho, wear layers, get ready for the winds. Saturday is going to be a little, Friday is going to be a little brutal, but Saturday is going to be gorgeous with a ton of sunshine out there for Brad Paisley's concert. Temperatures will be into the 60s again. So honestly, it's really just Friday morning and a little bit of Friday afternoon is a little brutal.
And we're still facing a shortfall of precipitation in many areas. And so this is actually needed rain that we're getting. Poorly timed, but needed just the same. So
it was like Mother Nature's first round draft pick was to dampen the NFL draft.
Yes, but you know, sometimes it's those late round picks that are ones that really shine.
True.
And I mean that literally. Might be shining later on. Thank you, Brittany, very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot giving us an update on the statewide forecast. And she'll have local forecasts, of course, throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. A little later on, we're going to check the mailbag. Several folks sending in comments or questions about some of the topics that we covered already. One asking about the emoluments clause and why isn't the Trump family being prosecuted for that. There's one about what can be done now that voter ID has been put into the Wisconsin Constitution, if anything, and more. So a quick reminder that you can send in your questions or comments a couple of different ways. If you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, just put something in the comment section. We'll see it. Maybe pop it up on screen. You can also use the Civic Media app to text or call us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And you can also email us your thoughts on our question of the week that we put in our Sunday morning Wisconsin politics newsletter, which this time around is, what do you think Wisconsin should do with the governor's almost limitless partial veto powers? Because as you may have heard last week, the state Supreme Court upheld a partial veto that allowed the governor to extend increases in school aid annually for 400 years. And that's not unconstitutional. It's a little funny. Maybe it needs to be adjusted, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe you think the partial veto needs to stay as is so that bills can be modified rather than vetoed, forcing the legislature to start all over. So what are your thoughts on what Wisconsin should have for a partial veto or not? Radio@upnorthnewswi.com or the comment sections of the Facebook pages for Up North News or Civic Media, or the YouTube pages of Up North News and Civic Media. All right, let's talk for a bit about comments that were made last week by Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy. And yeah, I still have trouble saying that out loud as well, but he is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And when talking about a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about the rates of autism among children in the U.S., he spread a lot of falsehoods. He offended a lot of people, not the least of which was this quote, and I'm not going to play the tape. I don't need to give him extra publicity, but here are the words he used. These are kids who will never pay taxes. They'll never hold a job. They'll never play baseball. They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted. That's all garbage. And people are rightly calling it out as such, some in very strong terms. And we happen to notice online the comments of Sarah Drever, who joins us now as well, a mother of two who can tell us much more about family life with autism and what it means to have a Health and Human Services Secretary talking like this. Sarah Drever, good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well.
Okay. Let me just leave it very open-ended for you, because obviously when you heard Secretary Kennedy's comments, you went online and really called him to task. So tell us a bit more about what you said and why.
Yeah. I know that your team found me by seeing my comments on Facebook, but I most of my response was actually directly to the quote that you already read, specifically calling out things that autistic individuals will never be able to do. And I brought up my kiddos as an example. As you said, I'm a mother of two, so I have twin boys. They're 5 years old, and they're both on the spectrum. They both have autism spectrum disorder. So when I heard that quote, obviously, I kind of went into mama bear mode and thought about my children and the fact that they are absolutely capable of all of those things. In fact, they're already capable of reciting poetry. They will likely do a lot of the other things that he mentioned as well. My kiddos speak three languages, so I would argue that they can communicate better than a lot of neurotypical people and neurotypical children at age five. So they're incredibly impressive. And I also identify as a neurodiverse individual for being on the spectrum. I would argue all of us are on the spectrum because it is a spectrum, but I have ADHD. And I also took it very personally when he says things like, these folks will never pay taxes or hold a job. I have a doctorate. I have a job. I'm a contributing member of society. I volunteer often. I consider myself a good neighbor and community member. And I show up. So I think it's really scary. And I think a lot of parents and advocates were rightly scared because the language that he was using also lifts up and brings about messages of eradication, you know, ending, cure, instead of using language like better understand or accommodate or advocate. So now with mention of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s idea of wanting to have an autism registry, obviously a lot of us are scared. We're thinking about other things that he said, like autism destroys families. I'm here to say that autism is very much a part of my family, and it makes my family better, incredible.
It's really something that we're talking about these comments on the fifth anniversary of President Trump making comments about, you know, injecting disinfectant into the body to cure COVID or shining a light into it, because it would seem like this would be the perfect time for a president to say, no, my Health and Human Services Secretary got it wrong. This is not where I stand. But clearly, based on Trump's previous comments, there may be more than a little bit of support for what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say. And this whole notion now that in his quest to find a, quote, cause and cure for autism, he wants to begin collecting Americans' private health records is more than a little disturbing, Sarah.
Very disturbing. And as I mentioned, I think that's why a lot of the response from especially parents, caregivers, family members is fear. I'm also confused. I think a lot of the leadership currently and the executive orders that have been passed are a lot of them that have to do with halting federal funding and slowing down or ceasing medical research. Those seem directly contradictory to a lot of the things that RFK Jr. is saying he wants to do. And so,
It's hard to say you're looking for a cure for something while you're also cutting cancer research and so many other things. Sarah Drever is an advocate for the neurodiverse community and talking about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s comments on autism. Still ahead this hour, we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Oh, before I forget, Milwaukee Brewers lost yesterday 4-2 in San Francisco, and they will wrap up that four-game series coming up this afternoon, 2:10 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting proof of citizenship efforts are afoot in Michigan, while voters await the outcome of the Federal SAVE Act and a Trump executive order requiring similar restrictions. This despite no evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in Michigan or anywhere else in the U.S. In Michigan, a constitutional amendment which failed to achieve a two-thirds majority in the legislature just received the go-ahead to collect signatures for a citizen ballot initiative instead. If organizers meet the signature requirements, it could appear on the 2026 ballot. The Michigan proposal requires any new registering voters to show, quote, a birth certificate, passport, and/or other documents, and would eliminate the use of sworn affidavits for voters without approved IDs. Voters without citizenship documents could cast a provisional ballot, but must return with the documents within 6 days for it to count. While that may keep the 20, that's 2-0, alleged Michigan non-citizens from voting, 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to citizenship documents, and over 5.8 million Michigan citizens don't own a U.S. passport, according to the Center for American Progress. On the national proof of citizenship front, a federal circuit court ruling on President Donald Trump's March 25th order is expected April 24th, and the SAVE Act is in the U.S. Senate, but unlikely to overcome the filibuster. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WiskCaregiver.com gets you started. Choose between two great options. Become a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. Training is free. Plus, earn a $500 bonus. It's easy to start your new career. Learn more at WiskCaregiver.com.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just a reminder, you can follow Up North News on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. All the stories that we do throughout the day are posted there. On our website, there is an op-ed from Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez that we put up for Earth Day, where she mentions the intersection of Earth Day and the Year of the Kid. And if you want to take care of our kids, take care of our environment as well. Also there, a story on the most affordable cities to live in Wisconsin. They measured cities 50,000 or more, so that's about a dozen cities. Not you, Sheboygan, you fell just short. But anyway, cities of 50,000 or more with a median home sale price cheaper than the state average, which is about $311,000. So a little bit about housing affordability there. And, of course, it's also draft day, and so you'll see on social media the sprucing up of Green Bay, which includes a new mural on Lombardi Avenue. And in our newsletter, the best Packers draft picks of the modern era since 1967. So all that and more over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and search for Up North News WI on social media. Sarah Drever is back with us, and we are talking about autism, the neurodiverse community, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s offensive and wrongheaded comments. And Sarah, if you don't mind, I just want to read a little bit of a social media post that, your friends from Western Wisconsin, you're an Eau Claire native, noted and brought to our attention. Let's get real, you write. To write that RFK Jr.'s recent statements about autistic folks have been upsetting is an understatement. I say this as a neurodiverse mom with twin five-year-olds. My five-year-old already disproved these allegations. So many folks in my family exist on the autism spectrum. We have jobs. We pay a lot of taxes, families, volunteer, support our neighbors and communities, date, marry, and have friends. And you've talked about your five-year-olds already, the things that they do and that other folks do that, put Kennedy's comments, put the lie to them. And I know you probably have a couple of more examples that would, again, if Robert Kennedy had met some of these folks, he wouldn't be saying the things that he said.
Absolutely. And I appreciate being able to bring up those examples to kind of refute the things that he said. One example I would think of is people on the spectrum find really amazing ways to communicate that aren't always typical. For example, one of my sons is less verbal than I would say average kiddos his age. And he oftentimes struggles to find the word for things. And so instead he will take someone by the hand and show them something that he is trying to communicate, or he will actually hold your face and direct your gaze so that you're looking at something in a certain angle that he wants to direct you to see how something works, because he's really fascinated at looking at things and trying to figure out how they work, which just highlights also the unique way that he sees the world. But a lot of these uniquenesses also present in ways that at least my children process information. And I think that leads them to have a more holistic understanding of concepts than their peers. And an example of that is my other son. We lost a family member recently, and it took several days for my other son, Archer, to process what happened and try and conceptualize death and dying and how to communicate that experience to others. And after this family member passed, and it had been about 3 days, my son said to me, "Mom, I'm not sure heaven is a real place, but it makes people feel better. So I tell them she's in heaven." And I'm like, you're five. That's such an amazing explanation. That's such an advanced concept. And the fact that he took the time to process that, realized all those things, connected all those dots, and then told me that was just amazing. So my kids are both medically complex. And I think that means they will face a world that will not always be accommodating. So I think their ASD, or autism spectrum disorder, will help them find new and better ways of participating, communicating, thinking, perceiving.
Well, that's, again, provided that we continue to improve the environment that's out there, the attitudinal environment that's out there, which unfortunately Robert Kennedy Jr. espouses the opposite of that. He took a report that noted that autism prevalence in the U.S. has increased from 1 in 36 children 5 years ago to 1 in 31 children in 2022, and used that to say autism was an epidemic. And he vowed to find a quote-unquote environmental toxin when, Sarah, he's being rightly criticized for noting that the change in numbers is probably due more to more comprehensive screening across a broader population.
Absolutely. That is true. And something that's commendable if we're better diagnosing. I think there's also a lot we've come a long way in understanding, right? So when we're looking back at, our great aunt Edna and her quirky collections, and we use terms to describe her like quirky, or now we look back and we say that person was probably on the spectrum. I think it's just a change in an evolution in our learning and understanding.
And that's what we're hoping to see continued, is an evolution of understanding and not bringing back some old tropes and stereotypes, and frankly, causing much more harm than good. And so I'm so thankful that folks like you are willing to speak out. Sarah Drever, Eau Claire native, joining us from Minnesota. Thank you very much for your visit, for your words, for your advocacy. Take good care.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, Joe Zepecki. And a reminder to sign up for our newsletters, plural. We have our weekday one. We have our Sunday morning politics one, and a monthly one dealing with sports. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlum.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Assembly voted to approve various changes to the state's unemployment insurance program on Tuesday. One bill would bar municipalities from handing out direct payments to residents through guaranteed income programs. Another would add a requirement that residents collecting unemployment insurance make direct contact with potential employers to remain eligible. Critics of the bill say they add unnecessary hurdles for struggling residents to clear. The bills will now head to the Wisconsin State Senate for votes. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have announced over $320,000 of investments for county forest roads. According to a press release, the funding will support the improvement of over 930 miles of roads across 24 counties in the state. A number of northwest Wisconsin counties will receive a portion of that funding, including Eau Claire, Burnett, Polk, and Ashland. Roads eligible for the funding must be part of a comprehensive county forest land use plan. The Washburn County Economic Development Corporation and Community and Economic Development Associates are seeking community input on housing needs in the area. An online survey will be available to residents until Friday. The input gathered through the survey will be used to help the organizations craft a housing study to inform future policy decisions, especially in their efforts to create more jobs and expand broadband access. The County Economic Development Corporation also plans to involve community leaders in the study. And Ashland Park will see renovation work beginning on May 1st. Construction crews will begin replacing the bathhouse at Crayer Park as part of a larger redevelopment project. Work on the full project is expected to take about 6 months, but city officials are hoping that the bathhouse building can be replaced by the end of June to ensure it's operational for July 4th. Officials also say the park should be open as usual in mid-May. Funding for the redevelopment comes from the Department of Natural Resources Stewardship Grant and American Rescue Plan Act. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's lots of Star Wars news lately. Here's the latest. Andor makes its return for season two. The show returns almost 2 years after the finale of season one. Diego Luna plays Cassian Andor, just like he did in Rogue One. The show is crushing on Rotten Tomatoes at 98%. Season two will have 12 episodes. The first three episodes dropped Tuesday, April 22nd. Disney Plus will release three episodes every week on Tuesdays, totaling a four-week run. Disney Plus says this will be the final season of the popular show. In more Season 2 news, Nathan Felder is back for Season 2 of The Rehearsal. The hilariously awkward creator of the show is also the leading man as he tries to help people get better at living their own lives by rehearsing them. Things usually go very wrong, and therein lies the hilarity. Season 2 will have six episodes, just like the first season. The HBO show drops every Sunday night following The Righteous Gemstones. Happy Weird Sunday Night on Max, everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with some rain by this afternoon. Our high today in the mid-50s with wind northeast at 5 to 15. More rain tonight, quarter to a half inch or more likely by the time it all ends tomorrow morning. Our low 45 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with afternoon clearing, high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
All right, joined now by Joe Zepecki, who, along with giving us his usual weekly analysis of Wisconsin political happenings, is one of the Wisconsin political happenings as he's running for chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And again, I hasten to add, with all the candidates, we're talking to all of them, William Garcia on Wednesday, and then Devin Remicker at 8:30 on Friday morning. Joe Zepecki, how are you?
Well, I believe I was the only one to announce it and make my first public appearance on your very show, Pat.
You most certainly will, and were, and we are very appreciative of that. So you are a whole week in the books of campaigning. How's it going?
I can't tell if it's felt more like a month or more like 24 hours, yeah. But somewhere in there. It's going really, really well. We're picking up a lot of support. People are reacting, you know, very positively to the calls for change with how we communicate as a party, to how we fine-tune year-round organizing, and to, you know, on the flip side of the coin, how we make sure we continue to raise the resources necessary to compete and win as a Democratic Party. So I've got hundreds of miles down already and about another 1,100 to go between now and Sunday. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got this is the season for ahead of the state party conventions. This is both Democrats and Republicans. There are the congressional district level conventions, and you've got to make that big run between the 7th congressional district convention this weekend and then the 3rd congressional district convention, that run from Hayward to La Crosse. I have done that multiple times, and you're doing that this weekend, but you got to go where the people are.
I'm sure it's a beautiful drive. I'm glad I'll be doing it in daylight and not in the dead of night.
Yes. Because I've done that both ways, too. One is most definitely preferable to the other. And along with all of that, you know, we talked to Sarah Godlewski a very short time ago, who is now running for first vice chair of the party as well, talking about all the road trips that include town halls where Republican members of Congress are invited to show up, but have not really been big on meeting with their constituents of late.
No. Where is the Wisconsin Republican Party? I mean, they're nowhere. I was out in La Crosse the other night. Mark Pocan did a empty chair town hall in the district of Derek Van Orden. Mr. Van Orden doesn't want to take questions from his constituents unless he gets to pre-screen them. And I want to point this part out. This was an open to the public event that Pocan was doing outside of his own district. There was no screening in terms of who was in the room. And so you had a couple of college Republicans wearing Derek Van Orden t-shirts and MAGA hats. You know what Mark Pocan did? He took their question. It wasn't a very nice question, but he took it and he answered it respectfully. There was a MAGAverse streamer who, you know, that we're talking like the Newsmax or further to the right, who had a ridiculous, disrespectful question. And I don't mean disrespectful that he asked the question. I mean the tone of voice and the way he asked Pocan the question about trans athletes. You know what Mark did? He answered the question. And that is the job. If you hold a position of public trust that the people elected you to, is to go out and face hard questions. Derek Van Orden is apparently not interested in that. Ron Johnson is apparently not interested in that. Tom Tiffany does not appear to be interested in that. And you know, it really gives away the game. They know that what they're doing is not popular. They know that they are complicit in an administration that is taking a blowtorch to the Constitution, that is creating economic upheaval for no reason. Right there, sometimes there's an economic crisis because something happens, like a terrorist attack or a natural disaster or a pandemic. Donald Trump inherited a healthy economy, not a perfect economy, but the most healthy economy in the world. And this is all self-inflicted by Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans who have just stood back and said, okay, boss, you do what you want to do. We're willing to sacrifice and cede our constitutional authority. So are they too embarrassed to go before their constituents? They should be, but it still kind of gives away the game.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how much of it is embarrassment because they know better, how much of it is complicity. And you mentioned, you know, when times aren't good, and I would again invoke personal privilege here to say that, you know, during my time in the legislature, the housing bubble had burst, the markets tanked, there was the Great Recession that was upon us, and tough decisions had to be made. You know what we still did? We still held our town halls. I held 100 of them during my 4 years as a state senator. Russ Feingold went to 72 counties every single time. I watched as those crowds got increasingly hostile, as more Republicans felt the need to come in and, again, act disrespectful in the way that you did. Did Russ Feingold stop? No. It's part of the job is to talk to people, even the ones who want to be rude to you. And, you know, so good on you and Mark Pocan and others who are still trying to follow through with this, because people deserve to know their concerns are being heard.
Sure do.
Let's ask you about stories that were in the news this past week here. I believe it was after our discussion last week that the Wisconsin Supreme Court put out a decision, 4-3, that upheld a partial veto that allowed an increase in school aid to go on for 400 years because of the way the partial veto is structured. It's awkward. It's a little unpleasant. Even the progressive justices said as much, but it's not unconstitutional. I asked in our weekend newsletter what people think. Should we keep this as is, as a necessary check on a renegade legislature, or is this a little too far and we need to rein it in? Do we just have a straight up or down veto on the whole bill? No partial vetoes. What were your thoughts after the state Supreme Court decision last week?
I think this is not one that anybody should get their dander up about. Wisconsin's governor has extraordinary line item veto power and always has. The Vanna White veto, the most famous of which was Tommy Thompson taking pages and pages of a budget to cross out most of words or whole words to create new words to build a new highway that the legislature had not authored. You may know this story better than I, Pat, but like, this is tale as old as time. The Wisconsin governor has a mighty veto pen and they wield it. And, you know, that was the Vanna White veto that Tommy used. This approach is something that Tony Evers had done, which was in question before the court, is very similar to something that Scott Walker had done, where Scott Walker locked something in for 1,000 years. It was a 1,000-year veto. You know, Tony Evers was only doing a 400-year line item veto. This is the way it goes. I'm curious what we're going to end up calling the vetoes that lock something in for a long time in the future. Our friend Bill McCoshin, Republican strategist, suggested the Jetsons veto because it's for so far into the future. That's not bad. I think we might be able to do better, but that's usually the case when Bill's talking.
That's right. So we'll continue to see how that's wielded, especially with this next state budget that is still being formed. It should be the thing the legislature, controlled by Republicans, is working on most often and most frequently. And instead, we're getting, as we did yesterday, these sideshows. And in this case, I'm speaking specifically about a press release from Senator Eric Wimberger from Oconto, talking all about the legislature's audit committee that held a public hearing into the millions of taxpayer dollars spent on Governor Evers' unconstitutional orders about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it just seems if you're spending your time fighting diversity, and holding hearings on what used to be a really bipartisan committee, Joe, the audit committee used to rise above all of those and simply looked into genuine abuse or waste of taxpayer dollars. These folks have really taken even that bipartisan committee around the bend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your father and your grandfather's Republican Party is gone. Don't take my word for it. Take you know, Todd Alba and Trivigy Olson, who I was talking with yesterday on air, his word for it, there's only one serious political party left. The Republican Party is not a serious political governing party anymore. It just isn't. And, you know, those are their choices. And they do not see the hypocrisy in attacking, you know, reasonable, effective, proven out diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, because we now live in the Trump era of meritocracy, where Peter Hegseth, the least qualified person in the Fox Green Room to run the Pentagon, the world's largest bureaucracy, clearly is the most worthy person of that role, and it's why his leadership at the Pentagon is falling apart and his inner circle is crumbling. Like, they don't believe in meritocracy, and they don't believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion. They believe in might makes right, and if they can make a buck, corrupt or otherwise, that is what they will do. They are centralizing power like authoritarian regimes have done before, and it doesn't matter that Hegseth isn't qualified. It matters that he's loyal, and that should scare all of us. And so when you see state Republicans chirping about, you know, nonsensical, non-existent waste, fraud, and abuse, we should just call it out for what it is, which is hypocritical nonsense. And I want to be really clear. There is sometimes waste, fraud, and abuse in government, and it should always be identified and rooted out, and there should be accountability. But that's not what the Republicans are talking about, right? Republicans are doing things like firing inspectors general in Washington. They're not actually serious about it. They just want to use it to distract you from the fact that they are further fixing the economy for those at the very top so they can do another tax cut to their big donors and big corporations. And we have to get wise to that and make sure people understand that's what they're doing.
And what a study in contrast to find that instead on the Democratic side, you had legislators yesterday introducing a bill that would restore women's reproductive health rights and remove many of the abortion care restrictions that have no business being in a doctor's exam room. Now, look, the legislature is controlled by Republicans. It's not going to pass. Why is it still important for Democratic lawmakers to introduce bills like this and to talk about them?
So that people know where we stand. And I want to applaud the Assembly Democrats for doing that. I also want to applaud Assembly and Senate, or excuse me, Senate Democrats for pushing once again to pass the extension of maternal Medicaid. There are 48 states that have done this to protect new moms and babies from the first year of a baby's life. Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states that haven't done so. And the reason is one person, Robin Voss. Yesterday, state Senate took it up, passed it 32-1. Overwhelmingly bipartisan support, 32-1. And now we need to put the pressure on Robin Voss to bring that to a vote. It has more than 50 assembly co-sponsors, which means if it comes to the floor, it will pass and we will be able to better support new moms and babies. Let's get this done.
Joe Specky is running for state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Here's what we've got tomorrow morning on the program. Our Week in Review panel of Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob. We've got Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, Dan Schumacher talking sports and the NFL draft, and Kristen Lyerly. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reminding you to never settle for anyone who wants to take this nation short on his full promise, liberty and justice for all.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem.
Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Coming up next here across the Civic Media radio network, Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Guests today include Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, and part of our Week in Review panel tomorrow morning. Also, State Representative Lee Snodgrass will talk about her election interference bill to ban billionaire bribery of future state Supreme Court elections. And Paul Noonan, sports reporter for Acme Packing Company, will be in to talk about the NFL draft, which starts tonight in what promises to be a rainy Lambeau Field, but then hopefully conditions improve in short order, and folks heading out to Green Bay enjoy themselves. Joe Zepecki continuing with us now as well. Are you a draft watcher? What are your thoughts on the draft being in Green Bay this year?
I cannot blame the fact that I won't get to see much of the draft on running for party chair. It's never really been my most favorite part of being a football fan. Mm-hmm. But I am going to be paying attention to one thing. As you know, and most of the listeners know, for the last 7 years, I've been coaching football at my old high school. And one of our former players, Nate Valcarcel, who went on to play safety at the University of Northern Illinois, had a big game against Notre Dame when they upset them last year. He is draft eligible. He is on a lot of boards as a sleeper pick to go in the later rounds. And we wish Nate from Greenfield all the best. He's an incredible kid, an incredible athlete. He works his tail off, and he deserves an opportunity to compete against the best in the world. And my hope is that by Saturday, somebody will have taken a chance on him and given him that opportunity. Good luck, Nate.
All right. While we're talking sports, what is happening with your Milwaukee Bucks? 0-2. Against the Pacers. Yeah, why do they have their number?
What do they say?
Five of the last six. Gosh.
A playoff series in the NBA doesn't start until the home team loses a game.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacers held serve. And lace them up, and we're going to go again. And Milwaukee was really good at home this year. I'm not counting them out just yet.
Okay. All right. We talked earlier in the hour here with a mom who was one of many upset about the comments Robert Kennedy Jr. made about autism. And we also played earlier the clip from 5 years ago today, Donald Trump talking about injecting disinfectant and putting light into the body and things like that. And it just, Joe, it gets to the whole notion of public service, you know, governing versus ruling, and the respect that one side has for science. And I just have to agree with what you said before. This is not your father's or your grandfather's Republican Party, where you could disagree on things like, you know, the tax code and you know, some other big issues. Not basic science. We've never had a split like this before in this country with basic science.
And such a lack of basic compassion.
Yeah.
And such a lack of intellectual curiosity. It is possible for people in this crazy world to not have all of the information all of the time and to start out afraid of that which they don't understand or unsure about how it makes them feel. That is okay. What is not okay is people with all of the privilege and resources and responsibility in the world, from Donald Trump to Bob Kay, who has forever tarnished the Kennedy name, to not show compassion, to not have the intellectual curiosity to understand the full lives that people across the autism spectrum have, and to be so dismissive and insulting of literally like thousands, tens of thousands of Wisconsin families who have someone they love who is on the autism spectrum. It's just disgusting. I wish I didn't have to be that personal about it, because I don't like it when our politics is that personal. But I don't know how else to meet that kind of lack of curiosity, lack of compassion. You know, we lost Pope Francis on Easter Monday. And you talk about someone who modeled compassion, who modeled the New Testament that I was raised on, and not the Old Testament fire and brimstone. Someone who washed the feet of prisoners when he was in Latin America as a cardinal. And like, I don't know what happened to that part of the Republican Party, but I'd like to think we can get it back. And we need to show compassion for one another. We are all, you know, we are all trying to figure it out in this crazy thing called life. But the approach of so many Republican elected officials, not Republican like voters, Republican elected officials, to demonize, villainize, ship to cartels. I mean, the Bible I read tells me that if Jesus comes back, he will be a refugee once again, and that he will seek asylum. And when you look at how we treat people who are seeking temporary protected status, trying to make a better life in this country, there's a real disconnect there from the party that is supposed to be about, you know, Christian faith is what they often talk about. It should be about all faiths, but it's crazy times we're living in.
You know what the antidote for that is it's one thing to love somebody in campaign mode, but IRL has a way of kicking in real life, and watching Trump's numbers on inflation and how he's handling the economy might be one way to break the spell. Joe, where do people go to learn more about your race for chair?
JoeZapecki.com. Congratulations, Donald Trump, on having the lowest approval rating at this point in his presidency of the 21st century. You did it, Donnie. Great job.
He's a very competitive. Well, it's like golf. Golf, you're looking for a low score. Maybe he's confused that way. I don't know. Joe, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Again, we've got Brewers baseball coming up this afternoon across the Civic Media Radio Network. The final game of four against the San Francisco Giants. Coverage starts at 2:10 p.m. Thanks to today's guests, Chad Holmes, Sarah Godlewski, Sarah Drever, Joe Zapecki, and to you for being here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin home for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media. Sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great day. See you tomorrow here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The head of the International Monetary Fund is urging countries to swiftly resolve trade disputes because they are threatening global economic growth. 2 days ago, the IMF downgraded the outlook for world economic growth this year. That announcement coming as the Trump administration appears to shift its tone on one sector.
In another sign that the White House may be backing off of these tariffs, sources tell us that the administration is now considering possible exemptions for some tariffs on Chinese auto parts, but the White House says that no final decision has been made.
ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. Applications for unemployment benefits went up last week, but only slightly. Meta, Starbucks, Southwest Airlines, CNN among those laying off workers in the month of March. A 19-year-old has been charged with aggravated arson for allegedly setting the bonfire and leaving the area without properly extinguishing it, causing the more than 10,000-acre Jones Road fire in Ocean County, New Jersey. This is ABC News.